Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm a spiritual mentor and sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to discover your gifts and to shine them to the world. No fear and only love. And this is a program of empowerment where I bring people who are in their element, they are in their gifts, they are in their process, they are in their journeys to discover and to encourage other people. These are the times where we are now in encouraging others to come and to expand themselves. For a lifetime, we've been searching for meaning of life, right? For that event or concept that will be our golden ticket to, or even the golden ticket itself. While all along, if anything these past months have taught us, is that we need to shed away all that doesn't serve us. All those filters that we've been adding on ourselves, all those filters that we've been adding to our spiritual existence. We're learning to release all that doesn't serve us, all these beliefs that skewed our own belief in believing in everything but ourselves. It is a painful process, and sometimes it is a lengthy one, something that only time can actually guide in healing. All this and more, I believe, is to eventually arrive to a place where we can all call home, where we can be recognized, where we can be seen. There's no judgment accepting us, a place where all has begun from, a place of wonder. To arrive to a place of wonder, once again, we must exercise this muscle of imagination. Wonder is a place within that children inhabit because, unlike adults, they have the key of what truth really is, a place of wonder, a place of joy. My guest today on the show is Gina Ann. She's a mom, an educator, an author, and a coach. Over 17 years, she's been teaching children ranging from preschool to high school in the academic, physical, and special education, allowing her to flourish her gifts and to bring it back to the children. As a published children's author from Hay House, she's been invited on many podcasts and radio shows, sharing her professional experience. And she specializes in the inner child of all walks of life, embracing her clairvoyant and empathetic gifts to tap directly into the collective unconsciousness where all information is shared, available, and is in the now. So without further ado, I'm really happy to have here Gina.
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the invite here. I'm very honored to be here and speak with you and share our stories and exchange our gifts to the world.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure having you here. So Gina, most of people become moms. Most of people have children. But what pushed you to write a children's book? Books, should I say? I have two of them.
Well, I've always been a storyteller and written poetry since I was very young. And I grew up in a small town called Aledo, Texas. Hmm. So I lived on 60 acres of land, animals, plants. And so that's where my imagination flourished. We also had an alligator in one of our tanks, Charlie. And he's in one of my books.
An actual alligator that was
alligator.
How do you pet an alligator?
I didn't. I just would feed it bread. It liked the crust of the bread. So again, I've always written stories. I've always told stories. I knew from a very young age that I was always in tune with my inner child. But you know how life experiences take over. I know I always wanted to be a mama, and I am. And so even being an educator, a teacher, a mom, it allows my inner child to come out and play all the time. And so what I do now, I'm an intuitive spiritual counselor, but mm-hmm. I do specialize with children, teens, and adults, but the inner child. So when I wrote these books, how she came to birth was I was getting my master's in spiritual psychology and we had a second year project and I'm like, I'm going to write a children's book.
Okay. And so it started as an experiment, just to
see. Yeah. I'm just going to put it on paper and see where it goes. And the issue is I don't know how to draw. I can't even draw a circle. So I was looking for an illustrator and couldn't find one. And I called Hay House and they're like, can we read your manuscript? I'm like, sure. And so that's how it came about. And now I published three and my fourth one will go live in February.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. So let's talk about those, because I believe that those characters that you're writing in the book, or the main character in the book, is actually...
is my inner child.
Is you.
Yes, Jojo. She was... You know, the story is she is from the galaxy in the wings of children.
I have here a couple of books. I have this
love
book.
It.
I have this book and this book. And we'll talk about Christo later.
Oh, no, Jojo.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, that's Oh No Jojo. And then actually, Christo is after my son, Christopher.
Yes.
So, and then my fourth book is after my daughter, Jojo Joins the Sea Show, and she's a sea angel. Yeah. But Jojo's come to the planet to share love and kindness. With the world and compassion, and that everybody has gifts. You know, it doesn't matter how different or unique, we're all special.
That is correct.
And needed in this world. We're brought to this planet for a reason.
For a reason. Yeah. I love
and this. She had to come to her own. She went through her own pain. Her wing got torn and she thought, oh no, I can't fly anymore. And so the generosity of spirit and came along. And whether at the end, it's up to you to determine why she's able to fly again. I always leave it to the reader. And it really is for children, but it's for adults as well. I've been to Skid Row.
Yeah.
I've been everywhere with Jojo and she just resonates and all the lovable and relatable characters in her stories are life experiences.
Yeah. Well, I read the books. You know, these are great written. What I liked about them is the wonder, you know, and the wonder, not just of the character herself or you, you know, but let's talk about the character, about Jojo herself, but also me as a reader, because sometimes I found myself, I'm being thrown. I was like, wait, what? You know, and it's, and you don't have to take a lot to be, you know, to be thrown away. If it is good, it'll throw you away in the second sentence. It's like those kind of things that threw me away. And another thing that I liked about that is what you do is that you take emotions like fear, for example, mm-hmm. right? And you objectify them. And you objectify them and you create, for example, the red stone, right? The red stone is always...
that's her magical red stone. It beats like her heart. So it's her intuition.
Yeah.
The stone is like her intuition.
Yeah. And then sometimes she lost the intuition. Uh-huh. Sometimes she lost the rock and really she couldn't function without the rock until Christo helped her find that rock.
Yes.
So tell me, is Jojo following your footsteps or are you following her footsteps?
I think it's both. You know, I feel I'm a conduit for whatever spirit, God, whatever you believe in. And I feel all the life experiences that I've experienced personally and through the children that I've been passengers on my love train, I call it. I've taken those experiences. So as a counselor and as, you know, deal with special education, children and teens who have challenges, whether it's addiction, suicide, bullying, you know, we've all experienced that. My story is your story. It just may look different. So yes, how I write is based on life experiences, whether it's my own, like I said, it may not look the same, but the feelings are the same. You know, we have an umbrella of fear. Under fear is sadness, pain, jealousy, resentment, anger. And then the other is love. Well, love is agape, right? It's unconditional.
Yeah. This is so wonderful, you know, exactly. Oh, in different words, in the last recording today that I was doing for my show, I was talking really about all these emotions and feelings that we all go through. We just have different stories. Everybody has just a different story. Everybody is just sharing, but we are all going through the same experiences.
Grief is never convenient. It never shows up when we want it. Mm-hmm. It's how we deal with it. And we want to honor the feelings. So, you know, I used to like, I shouldn't be sad. This person has cancer. No, my pain is still just as valuable. Or I'd shove my pain aside because, I have to be a mother. I have to take care of these students. I have, no. I did a disservice. What grief taught me, and grief is pain of any kind of sort. It doesn't matter. Pain is pain. It's physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is. When I took care of myself and showed myself self-love and processed it, I was better able to serve others.
This is amazing because this brings up a point. This brings up a point that that is really great with working with children. So when you're going through grief, you know, many times I would find that educators or parents or whatever, they're working with children, they are trying to shy away, to hide away their own grief, to hide away their own what they're going through, to create a false sense of strength.
Thank you. So that's why I counsel parents to communicate with their children. Because usually if the child is going through it, the parents are mirroring it.
Yeah, of course. Totally. So basically what you're saying, and which is completely, I totally agree with that. It is to show the child that you are going through pain. Show the child that you are going through some kind of a grief or some kind of inconvenience or something that is really pulling you out of your zone, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is not whether it pulls you off or not, whether it's how you're dealing with this.
Yes, how we relate or how we feel to a situation is a situation.
Yeah.
So even in joy, and it's not all doom and gloom, Doom and gloom, these knotted hurts, because it feels like a knot, the knot in your stomach, the knot in your throat, the knot in your head, the knot in your heart, these knotted hurts are to teach us how to unknot it. So we are given there to show us the opportunity. Does it feel good? No.
Absolutely.
But if we don't process and heal it, unknot it, we're going to repeat it and repeat it.
That's right.
And repeat it. Again, it's the same thing as joy. We want to embrace joy.
That's
some
right.
people are afraid to show joy, especially if someone is hurting. No, embrace your joy and embrace your happiness. Like what I love about children, the best thing about them is they don't have to think about it. When they go outside and play, they don't go, think I'm going to go up that slide. Then they just go, they just run. And that's what I love. We don't have to lose that. We feel that we've gone through these life experiences that we can't experience play. Oh no. I love when neuroscience procreates with the woo-woo, because that's where the magic is. That's where the play is. This isolation that we've had this year, it's taught children. I kind of like that it's taught children. I'm bored. Now they have to go to the imagination. So we're tapping back into the imagination.
Where we were kids.
That's where the intellect is. There's many forms of intellect. Imagination is the greatest form. That really is the reality.
It is. Imagination is like, it's what they say is when we challenge our perception, because really this is what allows us to play in the imagination field. When we're challenging what we think about, whatever that which we're thinking about, when we challenge that, how we are, and we allow other people's views to help us think or think differently.
Right.
It is really practicing that muscle of imagination. It's like going to a gym.
It is. You have to, it's all our muscles. It's mental, physical, emotional. If we don't use it and utilize it, it flattens. The only thing I feel like why there's so many issues and why stories and books are so important. I always encourage, I assist other authors, is because that allows us to connect with something. And since we all need connection, we all need touch. Mm-hmm. And so the lack of touch and connection is throwing our children and adults off. But when we can delve into music, music touches the soul like a story, and movies, good, beautiful movies to enhance it. It allows the brain cells to be reinvigorated. When you reinvigorate the mind, the body follows. So it's because
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we have three parts of our brain, right? We've got the emotional, the limbic, and the cortex. And, you know, when we get emotional, the logical state shuts off, right?
That's right.
When we're hurt, we're in pain.
That's right.
And it actually causes physical pain. But when you expand and that creativity, whoo, the whole world opens up.
That's amazing. This is great. But here's a question. You talked about movies, right? I love movies. I mean, I also, you know, I put my hand in the documentary. I love movies.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, as a movie watcher, not necessarily as a maker, but as a watcher. As a watcher, I am kind of letting my imagination go away I'm guided how to imagine. I'm taking a single point of view and I'm being guided. So I don't know if
true.
You think, yeah. So I don't think movies
you can cut that out. For me, movies are, because everyone relates to a movie differently. They want to relate to a character in a movie, just like Jojo. They want to relate to her kindness. So when I watch a movie, I'm like, how would I relate to that? Oh, I felt that before. I felt how that person has felt. It's not really the theme of the movie or movies itself. Mm-hmm. It, when you're in imagination, and what I mean part of the imagination is I'm not thinking about how many bills I have to pay. I'm not thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to do this, this, and this. And oh my God, my sister-in-law has cancer. I'm in the non-reality, but the reality. Mm-hmm. I'm in the motion of it. It's like music. When I'm listening to music, it stirs lots of emotions. You know, music moves me more than anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, me too. that's great. So Gina, so as a child, did you have the freedom to imagine as much as you want?
I had the freedom to imagine because it was my imagination. Now, did I have the freedom to express it?
Or to express
it? Not really.
Yeah.
No, it was kind of made fun of. So I just kept writing. So I would just always write because that's where I love. I love delving into a book. That was my escape. And I like writing. It makes me go into that imagination. But the only where I got my validation was from my teachers. And actually, Mr. Rooney he was my government teacher and he was a storyteller and he loved my stories. And so I used him one of my books.
Oh, this book, you used him as a character in one of the children's books.
Uh-huh. He's Mr. Rooney. He's a spider, but he's a tailor and he helps repair her wing.
That's cool. So growing up, you really didn't have, you grew up in a pretty, quite a strict place, right? Or at least a masculine place.
It was a rule. Yes. I have three brothers.
Yeah.
And so, yes. Yeah. I mean, we explored all over. You know, we lived on 60 acres, so there was an ostrich farm, and then we had an alligator. We had snakes. And, you know, we climbed trees and had an amazing imaginative and creative upbringing. We would take off and play outside all day long. But as far as like poetry, that was really belonged to me. Where I got my validation was at school.
So
through my teachers. That's why I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah. To allow to give the space to children who are experiencing something to what you've experienced, where the expression was kind of shunned down, was kind of like, nope.
Yes.
That's not.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's great. You know, this is what's happening. You know, we are. They say that it is said that children will always try to be the opposite of their parents, but the question is, are they really doing what they want? What they really feel like, or are they doing just to be opposite from their parents? What if what you like actually would have been like your parents? That's kind of scary sometimes.
Well, I feel because sometimes generationally, you know, whatever generation you're brought up in, you take what resonates from your upbringing and you utilize it. Now, some people tend to, for example, if there is a dysfunction in our family, you can either choose to carry on the dysfunction or say, wait a minute, I don't think I want to do that. So growing up, you know, spanking was allowed.
Well, here's the thing. If you recognize that it's dysfunctional and you continue, then it's dysfunctional in a different way.
Yes.
Because once you realize that it's dysfunctional, you automatically want to stop. If you continue it, then you're developing a whole new
the cycle. Correct. Exactly. So it's just everybody's different. Like I said, in my era, you know, they did SWATs at school. Yeah. That's unheard of.
Wow.
They thought it was okay. You know, no judgment. That's just the way
generation was. Those times, I mean, the times we grew up, I mean, you know, there wasn't really ADD, ADHD, although the inventor of it, while he died, he admitted that it was an invention of his, that it was really a hoax, that he invented it. But at that time that I grew up, there wasn't really something like that would listen to the child. Yeah. You have this. It's just make sure the door doesn't hit you on the way out.
Right. Do it because I said so. Wow. Okay.
That's how I grew up.
So communication, communication is key, and books are a type of communication, just like music. Yeah. Again, I always bring up music because JoJo has a jingle. And as in sound, and it does emit a healing frequency. Yes. It just does. When you hear it, it lifts your spirits. I mean, my youngest client is 3 years old,
yeah,
and she saw monsters, and her speech was delayed for 2 years. And I sat with her, and we read the JoJo books, and then I played the song. Within 10 minutes, she had recited the whole song. Actually, her mother was sobbing in the other room, and I taught her about the JoJo, how to chase away the monsters. And now I used JoJo's magical stone, and I gave her a little stone, and I taught her how to make the monsters go away. She hasn't had a nightmare since.
That's amazing. So what you're doing, you're actually, she has a world here, the child has a world, mm-hmm, and you are just going into that world.
Yes.
And coming with her out on the other side, you know, doing all this kind of.
The oldest client I've had is 89, and he was hopefully not anymore, was addicted to heroin.
And 89, survived all the way to 89?
Yes, 89, because he would stop sobriety and go back. And he said what saved him was JoJo, because he saw faith and he saw hope. So here's an 89-year-old who related to a character and related to Naga, who is a vegan chef in the book. He's a snake. So what I do is I try to pick characters that I was afraid of or sometimes are looked down upon, like flies and snakes and bees. And rats. But they're lovely. We're all part of it, you know. And he related to Naga, and it inspired him. And he's done therapy for years. And that's why stories and imagination are so important.
That's amazing. And you know what? And again, I'm referring back to what I recorded earlier, but the word of this week, of this month, that's really of this year, that's really what you just said, is hope. Because without hope, really, you know, and hope is not necessarily hope for something to happen or this.
Right.
But it is actually going inside. Finding that courage within us.
The inner faith.
Yeah, exactly. That's wonderful. That's just, yeah, I knew it was a good idea when you were coming on the show.
So. Oh, well, no, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love talking about this. I love talking about children and fantasy. And again, we can indoctrinate play in every kind of field we have. Work, it's a form of communication. Play is a form of communication. I work with couples all the time, and we role play. And so I always bring JoJo into it, and you know, sometimes they laugh at me and they'll like, isn't that a kid's book? I'm like, sure. And I said, first I'm gonna have you listen to the jingle, and 9 times out of 10 they get lifted.
Because what you're doing, and this is, I know, because you know, you're using this frequencies, you know, you're using certain frequencies that is really what I call mind hacking, which is marvel.
Is
mind hacking really what we're doing. It's like some of the Tibetan bowls that I work with, or some of the frequency instruments that I'm working with, or even voice. Sometimes with certain frequencies of the voice, if we know what we're doing, are actually triggering certain responses that the brain subconsciously is just activating different parts of our body.
That's right. Yeah. It's like all these little the synapses start connecting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The kinetic energy, it's harmonic resonance. It just keeps going. It's like that ball of energy that you can feel.
Exactly. And if you know, if you do it with your hands, right? You do it with your hands, you can feel that ball of energy.
Yes, that's what
I'm pulsating.
Can't you feel the vibration? I can feel the vibration now.
Of course.
And then if you put that in your heart.
This is wonderful. Ah, this is
great. Right?
This is great. This is great. So, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, in a way, I'm glad that your parents didn't allow you to continue with poetry, because otherwise you wouldn't be here working with children.
Right. Well, you know, I always wrote it. I just didn't share it. And now they love it and embrace it. But at the time, you know, they were busy with their lives. And nothing, I mean, I loved my parents. There was so much love. I was just different. And yeah. I love being different. And that's why my characters are different. Different is beautiful.
Different is, everything is beautiful, you know.
Everything is beautiful.
Different is because we are, different because we are in a place of that everybody wants to, not everybody, but many people wants to assimilate. And, and when we're doing something different, it's just, it stands out, you know. So, but in the past, I think different, the reason today we say different is beautiful because in the past, different was considered to be, oh, you're different. You're no good.
You're weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
And we know how that is especially not the case. You know, this is
exactly.
Especially. And I like this book. You know, this guy, this Christo guy comes out of nowhere. Your son, did he come out of nowhere, actually?
He's always been a protector. My children are my heart and soul. And
Now, here's another thing that you guys didn't know. You just recently was given an animation for Georgia.
Animation,
right?
Yes. I'm so excited. Yeah, we really brought her to life. Why my intention was that, and these are two Pixar employees. They have their own company now. They work with Stan Lee, and you know, they know this animation world. And I'm so grateful that they believed in JoJo and me, and our mission to share with the world love. It's all about love. And what I love about it is, obviously, this year it was very difficult for me to read to the children. I normally go to hospitals and schools, and so I do story time. I've been doing story time actually since my kids were little. And so with JoJo, I've always done story time. And now I have an animation to share with the children all over the globe. I just had someone from India listen to it and loved it. And I had another one that says, oh my gosh, my crown chakra just went crazy. She is a 53-year-old woman. She goes, I mean, the feedback has been amazing. That's why I'm asking to share. It's not about me. It's not about anything. It's about sharing.
It is about your gift that you bring. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I'm the conduit. I feel very blessed to be the conduit. And so I am going to start story time again. I've been asked, all these children and the parents have been writing me and DMing me and giving me feedback. And they're like, please do a story time. And although I love live, I like to be in the presence of them.
Yeah.
We're in this new world where it's virtual, so I'm going to do story time.
Yeah, no, this is great. You know, I see two people here, actually.
<Uh-oh>.
not me. I'm talking in your square. I see two people. I see the child and I see you, and you're interchanging so beautifully. It is wonderful because I see your wondrous being experience coming out, and then you know you talk about it. So you're doing story time. You're doing
I'm going to start filming story time. So story it's time. Something I can share with the children, and I can give it to all over the world. You know, like I said, it's for schools, it's for orphanages, it's for hospitals. You know, I could read JoJo and bring them to her now. I'm so blessed for the virtual world. I mean, I'd rather be in their presence. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like their little hugs. Yeah. But for me, every child, every inner child that holds my books, even seeing you hold it, for me, it's like a love hug. It's like hugging, like we're embracing each other. We're embracing one another. And that's what it's all about. In the end, it's what it's all about. We come in with the breath and we go out with the breath.
Yeah,
you and know, everything in between is our being and our choice. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is create this heaven on earth.
Yeah, well, that is true. Heaven is here. It is really how we look at things.
Yeah.
You know, the Hebrew language, the fifth letter is the most one of the most important letters because it's the feminine letter. Hey.
Oh.
Hey. This is how you pronounce it. Hey. Like you say, like hey, hey house, right? Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Like hey, you, hey. But hey is this is also how we come into this world. We come with a and we live with a
exactly.
Exactly. And it is the feminine letter. It is a feminine letter. So everything in Hebrew that is feminineized, right?
I like that. That was a tongue twister for me. I am not even repeat
feminineized, that. Right? But you have a hey at the end. And yes. That makes it like yeled, yelda, right?
Yelda, yeah.
Yelda.
Beautiful.
A boy, a girl. Yeled, yelda. Right, so so you have that hey, that fifth letter, which is kind of like almost like a pillar of the alphabet language. Oh, I love-
Fairy angel Jojo flies high and low, with her magical stone swoops down the tree hole. Adventure bound and all around, she plays and sings and loves all things. She's could tell her no, no, because she believes in her magical wings and all the beautiful things. You can have them too. Just believe in you.
I believe in you.
She's Fairy Angel Jojo.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is really, really a fun, fun time. I mean, you know, spending time with you and spending time with your stories and with how you work with adults and how you work with children
and animals.
And animals.
I went to the wolf connection. I worked with wolves, and I'm telling you, I read the JoJo book there. And
to the wolves.
Yeah, and
really?
They start,
oh, that's woo! Cool. Oh, because those are wolves that are being that are being protected. Let's put it in context, okay?
Oh yes. Yeah, I didn't just go out in the woods and
Yeah. Let's put it in context.
Although that would be fun, I probably would.
That would be interesting. So you went to a sanctuary, actually,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
you went to a sanctuary. So tell us about this experience. Tell me about this experience.
It's so beautiful. Once you step into that space, these wolves are like us. You know, they go through the same amount of pain. Their voice, the howling, are messages. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like children, how they communicate. They're crying because they're trying to communicate. And they do smile. And the wagging of the tail is like us going, woohoo. And there's so many stories, you know, pain stories that they've been through, trauma. But such love. They want to come back to love. I mean, they're like, oh, were you afraid? I had my friends and everything. I wasn't afraid at all. And in fact, it's motivation for my fifth book. I'm going to have a wolf called Lupo.
Wait. Before you get to Lupo.
Okay.
So tell me about when you read the book there. Tell me about when.
So when I read the book, they just looked. They just paid attention. Their attention was on it. And of course, you know, you speak calm and you respect their space. You know, you always want to respect the space. And they listened. They just sat there and listened. Either they were on the ground or they listened because they're kind of all lined up.
That's fine.
So, beautiful. It's proven. I mean, the wolf connection is great because they have children go there and with special needs or challenges, and they communicate.
Where is it?
Oh, it's in Palmdale.
In Palmdale, inland, right? Oh, that's
yes,
cool.
And you can like hike with the wolf.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
I felt so honored they invited me and was able to, you know, play with the wolves.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And they had a big yurt. I learned a new word, yurt.
Yurt.
Yeah. So it's like a fun tent.
Yeah. I have the yurt in the backyard, kind of a small one, but yeah.
Yeah.
So now tell me about Lupo.
Okay.
By the way, how did you get to a name like Lupo? Well, I mean, where did that come from?
Oh, it's Italian. I'm Italian. I'm Sicilian Norwegian. So Lupo is Italian for wolf. And he's going to be a hobo, which I love. And he's going to have a magical bindle with lots of magical things in it. And because I hopped a freight train 4 years ago from Van Nuys.
Why it was moving?
Well, I was moving. Yeah, I was moving, hopped on it. And I went from Van Nuys to Ojai. So JoJo's from JoJo joins the Sea Show with my, you know, with Sea Angel Bobo, which mm-hmm. is dedicated to my daughter. She mm-hmm. ends up, every adventure ends up to the next adventure. Mm-hmm. She hops a freight train, and that's where Lupo is, and a peacock named Rena. And the peacock is a gypsy. Hmm. So, but Lupo, hilarious. I learned so much from the wolf connection and about what alpha means. Alpha is doesn't mean, I'm a right. fighter, macho. Yeah, alpha means the ones that everybody turns to, like a healer. Hmm. So everybody turns to healers, right? Mm-hmm. Because they want assistance and they want to get that guidance through whatever they're going through.
Yes.
And that's what the alpha wolf is, the same thing. That's who they all turn to. Not about fighting.
Never.
It's about calmness.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the old paradigm where people exactly. are just like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah. Hoo-hoo. No, it's not about that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. This is so wonderful. Wow.
No, thank you.
I'm waiting for that
I'm writing it right now.
Oh, that's great. Right. That's great.
Bobo will be coming out soon. So, and like I said, the animation is, I just invite people to listen to it. And whatever they have, they have. There's no, it's what you get from it. I'm not going to say, just like my stories, I give you the ending, but you determine what ending you want it to feel like.
That's wonderful. And you know, and first, and all your information will be underneath here, all your website and everything. Of course. And what a wonderful sentence to really end our show. You know, you decide what the end looks like. This is perfect. Gina, thank you so much for bringing your stories and your wonder to to here and to the children and to the world, because adults are children. Yeah, you're welcome.
We are. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on, and I always get excited when you're excited. Then see the energy of exchange.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
This is how we roll. Yes.
I want to learn. I used to do sign language. I want to do sign language for the kids.
This is wonderful. This is what I wanted to bring out, because today I actually, one of the interviews was with the Israeli Circle of Listening, which is working with children that are deaf and they have problem hearings. And one of the guests is a rock singer from Tel Aviv that she is half deaf. And I know she's a good friend, and so
I want to learn again.
Yeah, so this is really great. So today what I've learned is, I mean, I knew it for a while, but on the show today, that I love you is this uh-huh. sign is I love you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yep, that's I
so
love
this
you.
Is so this is really a blessing. Thank you, Gina, very much. This is all
Thank
her
you.
Information here, her Facebook, her website, all that. And thank you all who are watching here, who had the courage, who have the courage to look beyond and to dare and to will and to have this will and to come from a place of wonder. And I wish you all, and I wish to everybody, a wondrous, wonderful year, a year of possibilities, a year of imagination and the expression of it. Thank you all very much. Much love. This is Abracadabra. Okay. Create what you speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. Take care.
You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak with Ilan Azulay. Only on LA Talk Radio.